we are going to be talking about stings and bites and all of the ouchy things that come along with insects. And, you know, but first I wanted to talk about the difference between a bite and a sting and poison and venom. And of course, the Schmidt Sting Pain Index, which is used pretty often to describe how painful a bite or a sting is from certain insects. So, Simon, what's the difference between poison and venom?
Well, about horrible. Well, venom is generally injected. And poison is, let's say, when you touch something like a poison dart frog, for instance, it's like brought through the skin, whereas the venom would be a bite or a sting or, you know, something that's injected on an active basis. That's how I would best describe it.
That's perfect. It's perfect. So venom, like you said, needs to be injected. So, like, spider bites, mosquitoes do have a venom. Oh my gosh, my cat's making so much noise. I'm sorry. and then and poison needs to be ingested or basically eaten, you know. Okay, so that's good. And then the difference between bites and stings, which is actually kind of funny because they are very similar. But typically sting is not within the mouth, so it's not something that the mouth does, although there are several insects that do sting with their mouth. And then the bite is like the initial, like Oh okay. Carrie has asked, what is the worst bite or sting that you've ever received or got? I've been really fortunate. I haven't been like bitten or stung by anything super terribly. But I have gotten stung by a bee, and I guess for me that was like the worst thing because it does burn. And I got it like right here on my arm. What about you, Simon? What's the worst thing you've ever been stung or bitten by?
It would have been an assassin bug, I think.
Assassin bug.
It's got to be been stung by a scorpion numerous times by scorpions. Okay. Assassin bug has got to be the most painful and horrible thing I've ever been bitten / stung / invaded by.
Yes, invaded. Okay. Good. Yeah, they assassin bugs are rated a 4. On the Schmidt Sting Pain Index. And so we're going to talk about that as well. What exactly the Schmidt Sting Pain Index is, it's a measurement of the relative pain that an insect sting or a bite can cause to a human being. It ranges from 1 to 4, and then there's like points in the middle. So it's like 1.2, 1.3. And Schmidt was actually, he was obviously a scientist. And he basically allowed himself to be stung by over 1,000 different insects. And then maybe a little crazy, I don't know. but then he would go and rate those stings based on his index there that, you know, he would be like, okay, he got stung by like bees and wasps, mosquitoes, I mean, pretty much anything that can sting, he probably got himself stung by it. And then he rated things. So as we go through and talk about these different insects and stuff, I will also be including their rating on the Schmidt pain scale. If I found it. If I didn't find it, I'm sorry. I'll rate it myself if I've been stung by it. So, so yeah, I think the first thing is probably also the most common, which would be mosquitoes. And mosquitoes are, I mean, they're prevalent all over the world. Usually they're found around like standing water. So like lakes or swamps, ponds, stuff like that. There are like 3,500 species of approximately of mosquitoes. And they're also known to spread or transmit serious diseases like yellow fever, Zika fever, malaria, and dengue, which I don't really know what
Dengue
dengue.
fever.
Sorry?
Dengue fever. Horrible.
Yeah, it's awful, from what I know.
It's quite common in Africa. It's a very horrible disease which basically causes a fever and makes you ill.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that their sting only scores about a one because the symptoms of a bite or a sting for a, it is kind of like a bite. It's a it's an invasion. We'll put it in the invasion. But yeah, they're
Might be an idea if you give the three options, because like I say, there is three, isn't there? It's like you've got your bites, you've got your stings, and then you've got some that are so like
in
bite-like
the
things, basically like a mitra, assassin bugs and
right.
mosquitoes, bed
Mosquitoes, yeah.
bugs, head lice. They all inject something into you. They all inject venom into you. So therefore, they are a sting, but they also are a bite because they come from this end.
Yeah, they
So
have that proboscis that they plunge into you, so
very nasty.
it gives a lot of people the heebie-jeebies, so I can understand. I can totally understand. But okay, so symptoms from a mosquito invasion is you're gonna get some redness around the bite, swelling, itchiness, obviously. And that's about it. Some people do have allergic reactions to that, which can include all sorts of other symptoms like a fever, hives, breaking out in hives, having issues like that. Anaphylaxis is a big deal, so if you do happen to get anaphylaxis from any of these insects, go to the hospital for sure and get treated with your antihistamines and
100% behind that one.
yeah, it's anaphylaxis is no fun for sure. A lot of some people even they feel like they can't breathe, so they have what did they call that? Pulmonary distress.
Yes, it's horrible. I've experienced that on many occasions. My wife has experienced it. Last time I experienced that, I was at a wedding.
Oh,
So
wow.
yeah, I can absolutely understand. I actually blacked out because of the breathing part. When you panic about your breathing, you tend to hold your breath so you black out. So you
Yeah.
can, which is your body's way of saying, chill out. You know what I mean? Just have a lie down, chill out, and it'll
Right?
breathe for you. But
Calm
yeah,
down.
like it's really dodgy. So if you are allergic to anything, make sure that you get to a hospital.
Yes, absolutely.
It's always handy to have. I have antihistamines there on my desk, right to my hand, because it's always handy. Because you, especially if you keep things, tropical stuff, it's always handy to have a few different ones hanging around, because you never know what you're allergic to. You might get bitten by a spider that you've kept for years. I might not know it, but you might be allergic to it. So it's always good to have them hanging around.
Right,
Pop
the EpiPen.
each. They won't do you any harm. Pop a couple of each.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do. It's better be safe than sorry.
As far as as far as I know, I'm not allergic to anything. So again, I'm really fortunate about that. But my mom is allergic to bee stings. So bees and wasps, if she gets stung, she can get that anaphylaxis. So definitely very dangerous for that. Carrie has a really good question as well. She says, are bed bugs considered venomous? No, actually. I don't believe they could be.
It's not that they're not venomous or that they are venomous. They come under a similar category as a mitra, where they inject to dissolve what they're eating.
That's true. They're
So,
similar to mosquitoes. I think they do have like a chemical in their saliva
yeah.
that kind of
It's annoying, isn't
calms the skin down during a
Yeah.
bite so that you don't really feel it, until later, and then it starts to itch. And
They're not going to kill you.
they are a type of mite, so.
Yeah.
And that,
They're not
as we know,
going
mites
to
are arachnids, and most arachnids are venomous, so I would
Yeah.
imagine they probably do have a little bit. I
Yeah.
don't
Probably.
know.
But I've never really looked into that, to be honest. That'd be a pure guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that they would inject something, even if it's something like a numbing agent.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people out there that will inject you with a numbing agent so you don't even know they're there in you. You
Yeah,
know, like
right.
head lice and
Yeah,
stuff like
head lice are like that. Yep.
So,
Absolutely. And
and lice.
with bed bugs, the way you can tell if it's a bed bug mite, is they will have breakfast, lunch, and dinner all in one setting, essentially. So you'll have more than one bite of the same type of bite. Usually it's like I said, like groupings of three, so breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But I mean, the outliers are out there, of course, but for reference, that's how you can tell that your bite is a bed bug. And they are easily killed by diatomaceous earth. So if you happen to get a hitchhiker bed bug or something like that, and you want to get rid of them, because trust, you probably do. Diatomaceous earth is a fantastic way, because it basically immobilizes them. It cuts up their little legs, and then they can't move, and they can't bite, they can't procreate. So that's a good information for everybody.
Nice.
Mosquitoes are, let's see, so getting back to mosquitoes. So
Yeah.
the treatments that you can use for mosquito bites, obviously you can wash with soap and water. So washing that area will help to get rid of some of the venom. You can use an ice pack to reduce the swelling. And then of course, there's a old kind of a old like holistic way of using baking soda and a little bit of water and making a paste, and then placing that over the bites. And then it says to apply it for about 10 minutes, and then usually it helps to resolve those symptoms and to ease up that mosquito bite. And then of course, antihistamines like Benadryl, Allegra, Claritin, whatever. And then also applying aloe vera on the skin is very helpful for reducing those symptoms.
Every time I've been in tropical countries, I always take quinine
Okay.
just in case, because of mosquitoes, which is repels chances of malaria.
Right. Well, that's
So
good.
quinine is like the original medicine for malaria.
Well, see, I
So
didn't know that. That's
if you bring
amazing.
it to a tropical country to work or to play or whatever, quinine tablets are the thing you should be taking about 2 weeks before you even fly to them to get them into
Okay.
the system, and then it prevents malaria, which
Oh, well, that's cool.
is very good if you go away a lot like I used to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's fascinating. I didn't even know that.
Only problem is the first week they make you sick.
Okay.
So if you do take them, be prepared for a very, very upset tummy, some people, and it can make you pretty vomiting. So yeah, that's what it is. It's not nerves, it's quinine. But it does work against mosquitoes.
Well, good.
I'm here. I'm here. I got bit thousands of times.
Oh
How are you?
yeah, no. I do get bit by mosquitoes, but it's pretty rare. I have a negative blood type, so perhaps that's I've got a weird blood type. So I kind of, but mosquitoes are interesting because they are attracted. They can basically see or like sense carbon dioxide that is exhaled by humans, by other creatures. And so that's what attracts them. They're attracted to like pheromones and alkaloids within your body and your system. They can smell that, and that's what brings them to you. Which
I'm
is
not going to wave a flag here for smoking.
Yeah.
But at the time in the 90s, when I was a brothel, I used to smoke. And when I smoked, every time I lit a cigarette, I was smoking. Uh-huh. No mosquitoes.
Yeah, okay, so they're... Maybe they don't like nicotine, I don't know.
Maybe. I don't smoke.
Right? Don't smoke, don't, but... Maybe mosquitoes don't like it. Okay, so the next creature, the next insect on my list for bites and symptoms and whatnot are fire ants. Fire ants are actually pretty common here in the States, especially in like the Southwest regions. We do get fire ants here in Colorado, and they can be freaking painful. So there are 200 species of them. They occur in tropical regions and some temperate regions of North America, as I said. They scale a 1.2 on the Schmidt Sting pain index, which again is kind of fascinating. And the symptoms of a fire ant bite can include severe burning or a fiery sensation, swelling, redness, and the venom is actually can it compounds in the body. So if you get bit once by a fire ant, okay, you're going to feel that burning and itching, but then if you get bit second and third time, it gets worse. So the more you get bit by a fire ant, the worse the stinging and the itching is going to become, because it just compounds.
It's the sting, it's a bite.
Uh-huh. It's a bite.
It's a sting.
Is it a sting?
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's a bite.
A fire ant will sting and then sting several times. It will grip onto you with its jaws. And then it will use its abdomen and sting you several times over and over.
Yeah, they're vicious. Vicious.
Yeah, they're evil creatures. That's
yeah, no, absolutely. You know how ant colonies are. Yeah. There's millions of them. So if you're messing with the ants, the fire ant nest or the mound, you know, like you're asking for trouble. Yeah, right.
They're invasive in the USA.
Uh-huh.
They actually started off at life in Peru, and they've moved up through Central America, through Mexico, into the United States, and they're going northwards. And I do believe a few years ago, you had a big government operation to try and get rid of fire ants from the USA that failed miserably.
Yeah, no.
Fire ants are smarter than we are. So
they really are. They're pretty.
They just moved on or did the opposite. They tried drowning and all sorts of things. It was quite fascinating. Yeah, I saw that not so long ago on a documentary on Netflix.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Oh, Eden Invert says that fire ants bite and sting at the same time. So they're one of those in the middle. They're an invasive.
Hold on, and sting.
Yeah, they're an intruders. There we go. So the bite and sting is at the same time. See, and that's, there we go. Okay, good. Good to know. So common treatments, obviously, for fire ant stings is you're going to want to wash any of the bites or the area with soap and water. I always find it's good to take a shower. And then, of course, like a cold compress, so like ice pack or something that you can like wrap around and kind of apply that pressure. That's going to help those stings. Antihistamine and then hydrocortisone. So it's a type of cream. So hydrocortisone is a type of cream that you can apply to bites and stings, and it actually really helps with the itching and swelling and pain and all that. So yeah, there's that. I recommend hydrocortisone, so pretty much for any bite or sting.
Does zinc and castor oil work? I mean, we haven't got fire ants, so I just
yeah, you guys are lucky. You don't get fire ants. They're over here. They're in the Western Hemisphere.
Nothing.
It's
good unless you're like me, where you like bugs, and then you have to buy them all in from abroad. But yeah, it's we don't get anything here. But yeah,
Yeah, right.
If like zinc and castor oil, what are you going to call it? The stuff you put on for nappy rash.
Yeah.
You know, like the white cream. I was just wondering if that would help. Because it
Yeah,
helps
we
with.
it's usually called cortisone here. You can get it.
Yeah, this cortisone, which is a different cream, if you like.
Right.
Nappy rash cream is generally made of zinc and castor oil.
Yeah,
Same as
diaper
for.
rash.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
Oh,
stuff's
yeah,
good.
diaper rash. Sorry, I actually broke that down to nappy rash and then didn't remember that you don't call them nappies. Yeah, diaper rash cream.
Right.
I was thinking
It's
that was.
very similar though. Diaper rash cream is really similar to cortisone. So I mean, they're only,
Right.
as far as I know, they're pretty close. Bugs
Because we.
Galore says pseudo creams. Pseudo
Yeah.
cream? Yeah.
She
I've
knows what
never
she's
heard of pseudo cream. Do
talking
you
about.
know what that is?
Yeah, she knows what she's talking about more than I do as far as the creams and stuff are concerned. It's
There you
like,
go.
you're talking to a man with kid children who's never changed a nappy, so there you go.
Wonderful. Okay, so
Yeah.
the next thing on my list would be the Africanized honeybees. Here in the States, a lot of people know them as murder hornets and all that fun jazz. So we call them murder hornets. I don't know who coined that term, but they're not actually deadly.
They don't do
They're
murder.
just Africanized honeybees. So these guys are hybridized bees that actually were created by a lab in an effort to create a bee that was a lot more productive than the normal honeybees. They wanted this honeybee to produce honey at a faster rate than what honeybees actually do. Instead, they created a incredibly aggressive and like violent bee that everybody calls a murder hornet, and they don't actually produce honey any faster than regular honeybees. So again, one of those wonderful examples of a man-made creature that we didn't they didn't it didn't do what we wanted it to do. But the stings are no more painful than like a European honeybee. So it's not as bad. I mean, obviously the sting is going to be painful because you're going to get that redness, the itchy, the swelling, probably a little burning. On the Schmidt pain scale, it's a 2.0. So it's kind of in the middle. It's definitely a sting that you're going to know. But the problem with them, the reason that we call them murder hornets, is because they are actually prone to sting with a lot less provocation. So I mean, you could be within like the general area of this Africanized honeybee and it'll just sting you because you're in its area. So they can be very aggressive. And of course, if you mess with the hive, you're gonna get the entire clan of them, and that's when it can become very deadly for people. And especially if you have any kind of allergies to bees or honey or wasps or anything. Then the more stings you get from an Africanized honeybee, the worse it's going to be for you. So definitely seek out medical treatment and the hospital if you are allergic to this to any kind of bees, because again, anaphylaxis is no joke. Treatment, obviously, for a sting from an Africanized honeybee is going to be washing with soap and water, which I can say is kind of a treatment for every little sting and bite. And then you're gonna wanna do like a cold compress, so like ice pack, some antihistamine, anti-inflammatories, and hydrocortisone. But I wanted to really emphasize that these guys are not deadly to normal people who aren't allergic. And they are a 2.0. I mean, I would say that's pretty normal for a bee or a wasp sting. They're painful.
I think that there are movie scripts waiting to happen. I mean,
Yeah.
this, we took this bee and put them in a lab to produce another bee, and now they took over and everyone calls them murder.
Right.
That's just a film script. That's just a film script. It's nothing more than that. But I think one of the other things you got to touch on by mentioning those and the way people perceive them is pretty much way people perceive most bugs. It's like, is that going to bite me? Is it going to sting me? Is it going to kill me? People think they're a lot worse than they actually are in most cases. And it's only because of the lack of education. And you don't expect everybody to know every single bug and every single thing that's going to happen to you if it bites you. But even common things, I've seen people not know if they can bite or sting.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
you're going to die if a black widow bites you, for instance.
No.
That's a common one, which, unless you're very unlucky and you are allergic to it, you're not going to die because of that. You're not going to
Right.
die if a tarantula bites you unless you're allergic. Must state this, unless you're allergic, everything. Right.
Yes.
But most things will not kill you if they
No, I
bite.
agree. Like, most things are not going to kill you for sure.
Yeah, some things will bloody hurt,
Oh,
but
yeah.
they're not you in a coffin. That's basically it. It's if you can handle a bit of ouchies, then you can handle the critter. That's
Yeah.
basically it, really.
Let's
And
see.
most, go on, you have a quick look. Most
Yeah.
things won't bite and sting you unless you
Provoke
are
them.
the perpetrator.
Right.
You're gonna be poking it. They're not gonna come
Right.
out, bite you, sting you, or feed off you unless you're poking at it, apart from mosquitoes, because they're a square
Yeah,
bug.
exactly.
Anyway.
I yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Seriously, most of these creatures they don't want anything to do with you, except for mosquitoes. They are happy to bite
They're horrible.
horrible things. Carrie says Africanized honeybees are like a flying pit bull with territory issues. I love
Well,
that. That's an awesome comment, Carrie. Thank you for that. Very funny.
she's right, but I've only seen documentaries, etc., on them and read a couple of papers. But so I've not seen one from experience. I wouldn't even, and to be honest with you, until you actually see something with your own eyes, you can't envisage how big it is or how creepy it is or whatever.
Right.
Because filmmakers put creepy things in on purpose. Instances they'll do it and say, "Oh, that's creepy, we'll keep that," but they won't show it just ambling around doing its normal thing,
Right.
which
Yeah,
is
no, it's the media really kind of hypes everything up, makes them a lot more fearful than they actually are. So that's, I don't know. I guess that's that culture, that's the fear culture, I guess you could say. Okay, so the next thing I've got on my list is bot flies. Bot flies, they're also known as what are they also known? I should have wrote it down, but these are flies that essentially, when they lay their larvae, they lay them inside of an animal skin. So typically animals get bot flies, but there are a couple of species that will infect a human being. So essentially what they are actually the larvae of a chunky bee-like fly with rounded head and like a rounded body. So they look really, really chunky. And the larvae are basically short, pudgy, segmented grubs that they live inside the flesh. So what they do is they'll like burrow in. They've got hooks and all kinds of gross things that allow them to basically move inside the flesh of an animal or some people. There are about 40 species of bot fly, and so the symptoms, I mean, you're going to get a welt, like a pretty decent sized welt. There's probably going to be some itching, a bit of swelling, redness, all these things. And then the treatment is occlusion. What that means is you're going to basically suffocate the creature out of your skin or out of your animal skin. So occlusion, you're going to put like over the lesion, you're going to put a substance like petroleum jelly, which we call Vaseline, bacon fat, beeswax, heavy oil, glue, nail polish, or chewing gum. And then you basically put that over the lesion. And then for several hours, you're going to leave that there and wait for the larvae to basically migrate to the surface. And then once it does, it can be removed with tweezers or forceps or anything like that. So it is something that you can do at home, but a lot of people would prefer to go to the doctor to actually have it removed, because it can be a very intrusive, operation. A lot of people are kind of squeamish. They don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, I get that. Like, this is something that makes me kind of squeamish. I don't want a bot fly in my body. Ugh.
Does I'll tell you what, if you're not squeamish, you can actually search for bot fly removal on YouTube and find videos of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And
And
then,
just pulling the lather out of people's foreheads and other places.
It's like those pimple, you know, those
AI.
pimple popping videos.
Oh, God. That's disgusting.
Is,
Disgusting.
right? But for some reason they're very satisfying. So I don't know. It's kind of a thing. But yeah, bot flies, you can definitely watch videos on like how to remove them and everything like that. The treatment is going to be the same for animals. It's basically that occlusion. You wait for the larva to surface. You'll see the welt get a little larger. And then at that point, you can just squeeze them out or tweeze them out, that kind of thing. It sounds a lot more painful than it probably is. And this is one that I didn't find the Schmidt pain scale for these guys. I would assume that, like, while they're in your flesh, it's not quite as painful because they probably exude some kind of toxin or something that makes your skin and makes your body like not notice. So I don't know. I wouldn't know. But yeah, so it's a big thing right now in California that bot flies are a problem. So I wanted to include them because just because of that, I was hoping to help some of my friends in California. Who knows? So the next sting I've got are centipedes. They're actually, again, they're kind of in that middle range. They're a venomous creature, but they have to bite you. So it's like a bite and a sting all in one. And it can be very painful. And the larger the centipede, the more painful the bite or sting is going to be. But they are rarely deadly. So usually they're not deadly at all.
Again, back to being allergic, really. I
Yeah.
mean, it's quite a fascinating creature, the way they like the front pair of legs has over time turned into what's called a toxicognath, which is how it bites you, which is I think everybody calls them pincers, don't they, really? The part that injects the venom.
Yeah, it's
Most people call them pincers. They say jaws, but it's actually called a toxicognath,
right.
which
They're
is a
very
weird
similar
word.
to true spiders because their fangs essentially are like side to side, so they're pincers rather than, fangs. Okay, so let's see. They actually some centipedes can produce a toxin, like variety of toxins, like histamine, serotonin, cardiodepressing toxin S, which I didn't look that up, but I'm absolutely certain that that means that it's going to slow your heart rate down a bit. And they can produce some serious health problems for people who are allergic to wasp and bee stings. Again, there's that allergy. So if you know that you have those kinds of allergies, then and you do happen to get bit or stung by, a centipede, definitely go seek treatment at the hospital. And the symptoms from these guys is two puncture wounds. So you're going to see those puncture wounds, redness, swelling, and then of course treatment for this is applying heat, or because hot water because that will dilute the venom. Ice packs for swelling, antihistamines, anti-inflammatory. And again, of course, cortisone or that hydrocortisone, that's really going to help as well. And puncture wounds. So this is something that I promised in the description that I would help people understand how to treat puncture wounds because, puncture wounds are actually kind of difficult to treat because they have a tendency to get infected a lot easier than other wounds. So, how you treat a puncture wound is if there's something inside of the puncture wound, you want to get that out. Obviously, just remove that from the skin or wherever the wound is. And then you're going to flush the wound with water, lots and lots of water. You can use saline, you can use water, you can use hydrogen peroxide. That's a really good one to use because that also will sterilize any of that infectious, bacterias or anything like that that could be inside the puncture wound. But you want to flush it, flush it, flush it, flush it. When you think that you're done flushing, probably not. Flush it again. And what I mean by flushing is you're essentially going to squirt or you want to squirt as hard as you can, like a lot of pressure with that liquid into the wound, like directly into the wound, flush it out. And then once you're done doing that, you want to make sure that it stays dry and clean. A bandage is usually helpful, but bandages can also cause some of that moisture and stuff to remain there, and that's what you don't want, because it can create more infection. So basically, that's how you treat a puncture wound. So you just flush it out real good, keep it dry and clean. That's it. It sounds a lot harder than it probably is, but flushing is probably the hardest part. That's how you treat puncture wounds. What do you think, Simon? Do you did you, is, did I nail it? Did I get it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's like anything else, isn't it? I mean, a puncture wound is a cut, isn't it?
No, it's
It's a cut that could be easily infected if something's left behind, like a sting, for instance, like a bee or a wasp sting can leave. Well, a bee can definitely leave it behind, and that can get infected, just like a I think the closest I can think of to that is probably a splinter,
Yeah, absolutely.
where the flesh around the foreign object gets infected.
Yeah,
So
yes.
it would be treated the same way, really, I suppose.
Absolutely. Carrie wants to know if we can ice it if they swell. Absolutely. You can definitely put ice on it if it swells, because it is probably going to swell. Puncture wounds are not like they're not the most fun of wounds, So I mean any kind of like intrusive thing in your skin is most likely going to swell. So that's just your body's way of saying, hey, something's wrong over here.
Use naproxen or maybe
Yeah.
ibuprofen, which are anti-inflammatories. They should both do the trick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Norepinephrine, there's loads of them, tons
I'm
of them.
sorry, my cats
I
are
don't know
so
what they all
silly.
call them. Sorry.
My cats are making so much noise. I am so sorry. I was just distracted.
Yeah, I've got a mantis here next to me on the plant, and it keeps trying to get on me, and it looks like it's
Just
going to fly at my face, so I keep having to pick them out. I know the feeling. Yeah,
no
he's
worries, no
not
worries.
noisy though. At least he's not noisy. He's just
All
threatening.
right, so the next and last thing on my list, other than most painful stings in the world, I'm going to talk about a brown recluse. So brown recluse spiders, they're very common here in the United States. This is probably the one bite that is probably the worst bite that you could possibly get here in the States. A lot of people think that it's the black widow, but these guys are far worse because of the nature of their venom. They are a necrotoxic venom. So what that means is, okay, so let me paraphrase this. Essentially, there are two types of venom. So you've got the first type, which is the neurotoxic, which is going to affect things like the nervous system. So that's going to affect your heart rate, your breathing, the what you're feeling, paralytics, that kind of thing. The other type of venom is going to be your necrotoxin, which is what the brown recluse has. So basically, what that means is anything. Any living cell that this toxin touches, it's going to kill it. So it's a necrotoxin. And this, necroneurotoxin, that also applies to rattlesnakes or venomous snakes. There are some snakes that if they bite you, you're gonna see the flesh and the living cells and organisms in that area is gonna start to die. And that's why they actually require medical attention pretty quickly so that we can, flush all that out and keep it from killing too many of the cells, because people have lost limbs and like
Yeah.
legs, feet, fingers, toes, stuff like that from these kinds of bites. So a brown recluse, there are 11 species of brown recluse in the United States. They're established in 16 states, which are Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Texas. So if you live in any of those states, you probably have seen some brown recluse. So the symptoms of a brown recluse bite is going to be reddened skin. Obviously, around the bite, you're probably going to have those puncture wounds, although it is a pretty small spider, so I doubt you would really see it. The skin can blister. It also can turn a deep blue or purple color and even black. If it's black, purple, definitely go seek medical treatment because a recluse bite is not anything you want to mess with. There's going to be some mild to intense pain and itching. And it can actually last for 2 to 8 hours. If you get fever, chills, headache, body aches, nausea, any of those things, then that's probably an allergic reaction. Again, go seek that medical treatment. But if it's a relatively small bite and it's not quite as serious, you can wash the area with soap and water using tetanus prophylaxis. I'm sorry. Prophylaxis. And then like antihistamines, anti things like that. But I mean, this is a pretty serious bite. Like I said, with that neurotoxin or that necrotoxin, it is going to kill any of the living cells around the bite. So if you get a pretty decent bite and envenomated pretty deeply, it's definitely a bite you want to go to the hospital to get treated for. I've known people who got bit by a brown recluse and they have lost like chunks of their leg. Like they've got this scar that's just like, oh yeah, that's when I got bit by a brown recluse. And so yeah, I just wanted to dispel that. Everybody thinks that the black widow is worse, but no. It's the recluse. And I'm not saying that they're Oh, I'm sorry.
We don't have either.
Yeah, you don't even have them. Yeah, sorry. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to fearmonger about this spider because they serve a purpose. They obviously, they take care of pests and other insects and things like that. But if you do happen to get bit by a recluse, it's not a fun bite. It really is not.
The reason they're called a recluse is because you rarely see them, isn't it? They hide in places like in little holes and garages
Right.
and cellars or basements, as you would say, and places where you're not gonna, there's not gonna be one running across your tabletop and in the kitchen, if there are in secluded places that, you can expect spiders to be.
Right.
So really.
They're very shy. Very,
Yeah,
very shy.
well, reclusive, you could even say.
Right. I mean, the last thing they want to do is bite you anyway. So, I mean, you really have to make the recluse pretty upset or, defensive for it to bite you. I actually I don't usually do this, but I will promote one thing, and that would be Tarantula Cat. She has one as a pet. She does keep a brown recluse as a pet because she found it somewhere in her house. And then she just was like, I want to keep you and film you and check it all out. But the cool thing about her video on it is that she is basically dispelling the rumors that spiders just want to bite you for no apparent reason. She basically caught this creature and then made an enclosure for it, and then boom, put it in the enclosure. And as much as she was messing with it, it was running from her. It was calm. It didn't want to mess with her, So I just want to put that out there that this is not a spider that is aggressive. It won't bite you just out of nowhere. It's a very docile species. Same with the black widow. They're very docile. They're not, they're not aggressive. They're not just going to bite you for no reason. So yeah, just, they are, it is a dangerous bite. It can be very painful. You definitely are going to need to seek medical attention, but if you get bit, most likely it's, that you almost squished it. It's a defensive maneuver, So, yeah, there it is. And then the last thing I've got is the most painful stings or bites in the world. And this is according to a lot of these are actually according to the Schmidt, pain index. So the first one we've got is the bullet ant. These guys, the bullet ants, I believe, are native to like tropical regions. And they definitely score a 4 on the Schmidt Pain Index. The next one, we've got a warrior wasp. It's a 4 on the Schmidt Index. They're native to tropical forests of the Americas, so, Central and South America. Orange spider wasp in Australia is a 4 on the Pain Index. These guys actually hunt the giant huntsman spider that is native to Australia. So it's a wasp that it's similar to like the tarantula hawk here. And that also is one that was the most painful sting. So the tarantula hawks here in the States, if you get stung by one of those guys, it's a 4 on the Schmidt pain index. So, and then the last one is going to be the horrid assassin bug, which is a 4 on that pain index. They are native to the West African tropicals. Yeah, so you have firsthand experience of being stung or bit, invaded by an assassin bug.
I felt dirty afterwards. It's awful.
It's
It's
pair.
several times. Yes, several times.
Oof. It's
It's
pretty. So, would you say that it's a 4? Is that accurate?
I'd have to test the rest, but unfortunately, I'm not mad enough
Okay.
to do that. So,
Right.
I just believe in and not play with other things. The thing with the assassin bugs is I actually sell assassin bugs, so getting bit is one of those things because they generally hide under bark. So when you put your hand in and pick the bark up, if you put your finger on one, you're getting it. That's it.
Yeah, it's gonna go after anything that moves. I mean, I've you know what I mean? They're
That's it.
predators. That's
This little thing are moving, so to them you're a bug that's moving, and they want their lunch, so it's your own
yeah.
fault really. But yeah, a few times now, and it's not a pleasant feeling. It's
No.
very painful, and it does well, and it makes you feel dodgy for quite a few hours, so feel a bit ugh. Well, don't do it.
Don't do it.
That's my advice. Don't do it. Don't
Don't,
get
yeah, don't do it. It's very
it.
painful.
Never
So
cover.
that's what I've got for stings and bites. A lot of antihistamine. So, and a lot of the symptoms are the same, that redness, swelling, itching. If you do get that anaphylaxis, that is definitely something that happens. Again, seek medical treatment, go to the hospital. Don't dilly dally with that because it's very dangerous. Otherwise, that's it. Yeah.
Also,
Bites.
if you've got underlying health conditions, it's a good idea.
Oh
Like,
yeah, that too.
even if nothing happens, it's a good idea. Like, if you've got heart problems, for instance, or kidney or liver, and you get bitten or stung by something, it's always a good idea to just go to the hospital and explain the situation. They might, nine times out of ten, it won't be anything. But yeah,
It's better to be safe than sorry.
as you said earlier, some bites speed up your heart, and some people do not want that to happen, or stop your kidneys functioning properly or your liver. And if it's already not functioning properly, it's a good idea to get yourself down to A&E or accident and emergency. What do you call it?
Absolutely.
Emergency room. That's it. You call it the emergency room. ER, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, we
Get
got
yourself down there
the
and explain the situation. And if you can explain what has bitten you exactly, that's
Right,
another
and usually it is
example.
very helpful if you know exactly what bit you or stung you. Sometimes you don't know these things. So I mean that's a whole nother topic of how to tell what you've been bitten by. But usually like with bees or wasps and stuff, usually they die within, a few minutes of stinging somebody. So that one's you'll probably find it, but as far as spiders, yeah, spider bites and stuff, they'll bite and run. So you might not know what bit you. And same with
Always
like,
works.
yeah, right?
Always works that. Always.
Mean.
They're not that tough. They're not that tough. Yeah, give it that and a shovel. You're all right. Then take it with you.
Of
If you can,
course.
obviously, take it with you. Put it in a little plastic bag, take it with you. If you can't ID it yourself, and don't trust Google. Please don't. Do not trust Google ever to ID anything for you. You know, you need somebody who knows what they're looking at to tell you what it is, not Google. Google will guess. Okay? It's not a fact if you see it on Google.
Yeah, because usually, they can kind of form a treatment plan for you around like what bit you or stung you or whatever. So usually it's helpful, but it's not always necessary. All right, well let's do a shameless plug. It's, what do you got going on this week?
I'm gonna repot this.
Oh,
Which
cool.
this was a birthday present from Bugs Galore. So yeah,
Aww.
I'm gonna repot this because this mantis seems to have taken a liking to it. So he's gonna get this week.
Very nice.
And then just sorting things out because there's a show coming up on August the 3rd in
Good.
Bristol, UK.
Awesome.
So got to sort some things out for that. And the usual shops open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So
There you
give me a
go.
call. And I will make some videos. I'm going to make a video on cockroaches. Best feeders. Which are the best cockroaches to feed to your
Oh,
animals?
cool. Okay.
With an index, with like a Schmidt index, but not as brave. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to do the same thing for cockroaches. Which ones are the best to feed for all inverts, not just mantis? It will be cover the full range. So
Okay, I love that. That sounds like fun. So I'm looking forward to it. Awesome. I actually will be dropping my Spider Shop unboxing today. So
hey,
that's what
that's
I've
all.
got going on. That's my shameless plug. And then I have my usual kind of rehouse videos, but you know me, I don't just do a rehouse. I include all the information. So
With your little guide,
yeah, you know me.
yeah.
That's what I
Well,
do.
I'll watch your video tomorrow because in a minute it's England versus Switzerland. And
Yes, go
then
England.
you've got to watch the football if you're in Europe, you see, otherwise you just lose your man
Right, you're
card.
going to be missing out on a big
So,
part of the
yeah.
European experience if you don't watch at least one football game. I agree. I agree. That's cool.
Exactly. I've watched every single one of them, so yeah. I
Well, that's
continue
cool.
the habit.
All right.
Are we done?
All right, Simon, that's all we got. I appreciate it. Thank everybody. Thank you guys so much for watching and adding comments and asking your questions. We really appreciate it. We will see you guys next week on Inverticast. We're so glad to be back. I am. And so
Yeah.
yeah. Heck yeah, man. All right. Thank
The
you
listeners as
again.
well. See you later.
And